Horrendous evils present three possible scenarios for free will theists' model of divine providence. The first two scenarios seem to kind of hamstring God here. First, he sits in heaven, wringing his hands in utter dismay, lamenting, oh, just how I wish I could do something to stop this horrific atrocity. But yet, free will is an intrinsic feature of my gift to humanity, and I am powerless to stop its exercise. In this case, God could not prevent evil.
Yeah. Wow. What a situation, yeah. Mark.
Thanks, God. Yeah. Thanks for helping out. Yeah.
Or secondly, he says, God says, sorry, my dear unfortunate victims of senseless violence, right? The only way I could have stopped this from happening would be to violate the greater good of human freedom that I've given to the perpetrators of this violence. And of course, I can't do that, right? So in this case, God could prevent evil, but he simply chooses not to.
Right.
Right.
Right. And you know, when you have these discussions among Arminian and Calvinists and free will advocates and open theists, you know, you always have to pick the most gut-wrenching, earth-shattering scenarios, you know, rape of children.
That's
and,
right.
And to cannibalism. Make your point.
That's right.
You really got to hand it home. And so, you know, here we can just do the same thing with how God responds, right? Here's the implication of it, you know, or, you know, maybe we look at something like the death of the only innocent person who's ever been tried illegally, tried and completely free of any guilt, of any sin, the God-man Jesus Christ. Maybe if we focus on the implications of that, we can get away from these just gut-wrenching scenarios and look at something that we can kind of pitch our tent towards of really needing an ultimate explanation of why and how did this happen within either free creatures or within compatibilist viewpoints. So it's just, if you're going to see it online, you're always going to see these like gut-wrenching scenarios. And it's just like, do we really have to resort to that? Yeah, and yes, we do have to deal with those as well, but maybe we can soften the approach a little bit and not take so much, emotional dismay from people and talk about the death of the perfect God-man Jesus Christ who didn't need to, but freely gave himself.
But I like emotional dismay.
I mean, you know, as philosophers, we're always going to peel back to Hitler and the Holocaust. So I get it. And it's hard not to talk about the worst case scenario, like, you know, oh, eating pineapple on pizza or something like that, you know. So, yes. But some free will theists, classical Arminianism, acknowledge a third scenario here.
Okay, the third one.
All okay, right. Good. Whew. We have the third one. They agree that God could and does intervene in many cases of horrendous evil.
Okay. All right.
So Arminian Roger Olson states, occasionally, God suspends free will with a dramatic intervention that virtually forces a person to decide or act in some way. But in general, God steps back and allows human beings a limited range of choices. Nonetheless, God obviously does not intervene in many cases. So you could take the right or the left path, but ultimately it's going to fork back into getting you to work, which will then allow you to go and pick up your children in time, and they don't have a awful accident. And so it didn't really kind of matter which way you chose. God just lets you have that spacer for the bowling ball to waggle between before you eventually hit the pins.
Right.
But this reality is unfortunately compounded by the fact that Arminianism holds to God's exhaustive foreknowledge. He knows precisely every evil choice that every person will make and does nothing to stop it. It is hard to see how he does not become an accessory to evil on that count.
Right. So if he knows that this is going to result in evil and he can stop it and does on occasion, then why doesn't he stop it on every occasion?
Yeah.
Right. Well, he violates free will. Well, yeah, Olson has just said sometimes he does violate free will. Then why doesn't he violate free will all the time?
So he needs to pick on one person, Jill.
Right.
Jill needs to have all the evil thrust onto her so that, or maybe Jesus. Maybe Jesus can be our one person that every bad thing, you know, he steps on the rake, it hits him in his face. He trips over himself tying his shoe. He gets a paper cut every time he opens the scrolls. Whatever it might be, every bad thing happens to Jesus, and he takes all our sins upon us there. We have the ability to make good free choices. You know, we have a range of free choices. We're still free. We're free to make a plethora of free choices. There. I've just presented God, the Armenian God, the better world.
Mm. Mm.
Wow.
In such accounts, God is like the policeman who passively stands by watching a thug steal a feeble old woman's purse or knocks her down or kills her. And when asked why he didn't intervene, he says, I don't want to violate his free will. But the woman's free will was violated by him, so he didn't preserve the free will of one person because of the free will of another person. Yeah. So why not restrain the thugs? And so every time someone tries to do something bad to somebody, you're preserving that the potential victim's free will, but you're violating the bad guy. We would be okay with that. In fact, that's how we kind of order society. We want those policemen to stop bad people's free will from happening. That's why we detain people and we exercise a suspension of their liberty and we put them in jail. Those are all limitations on someone's free will because of decisions they make.
Yeah, right. So notice in each of these positions, they face the same intractable problem, he tells us, where God stands by watching innumerable gratuitous acts of evil unfold while doing nothing about it, right? He says, but we can imagine God standing by idly while the powerful and evil, for instance, Hutu, systematically slaughtered the Tutsis in the Rwanda genocide. Can we imagine that? Not at all. Unless there is some notice greater good intended, right, for God that he's designed to happen here. But of course, the free will theist can't appeal to a greater good because that's not the reason why these things happen. The reason why is because God has chosen to give us free will, not that there will be a greater good out of it. So notice what he's doing here. He's saying they're kind of stuck. Once you saddle on yourself this libertarian free will as your answer and your only answer, then it rules out certain other defenses.
Yeah.
And we can never say, well, because there's going to be good coming out of it. Well, then now it's more than just free will that these evil things are happening.
Yeah.
And of course, that's what he wants to say, right? We have, at least to a certain extent, that might be the case, but there may be good coming out.
Yeah. Right,
that's what he wants to say. And, of course, the libertarian free will theists can't say that if they're relying only on free will as their defense.
Right, right. Because God could reach over and 51%, oh, sorry, I violated a majority of people's free will, and so I've got to shut it down right at the 49%.
Shut it down.